Now we're going to turn tonight, please, in God's Word to the Old Testament book of Job, Job chapter number 7. And we're reading just the chapter through in its entirety, reading from verse 1 of the chapter, just going down to the end of the verse number 21. I encourage you wherever you are just to get out your Bible also and read along with us, and pray that as we read that God will bless His Word, His precious and holy Word, to all our hearts. Job chapter 7 and the verse number 1. Is there not an appointed time to man upon earth? Are not his days also like the days of an hireling? As a servant earnestly desireth the shadow, and as an hireling looketh for the reward of his work, so am I made to possess months of vanity, and wearisome nights are appointed to me. When I lie down, I say, when shall I arise, and the night be gone? And I am full of tossings to and fro unto the dawning of the day. My flesh is clothed with worms and clods of dust. My skin is broken and become loathsome. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope. Oh, remember that my life is wind, and mine eye shall no more see good. The eye of him that hath seen me shall see me no more. Thine eyes are upon me, and I am not. As the cloud is consumed and vanisheth away, so he that goeth down to the grave shall come up no more. He shall return no more to his house, neither shall his place know him any more. Therefore I will not refrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. Am I a sea or a wheel that thou settest a watch over me? When I say, my bed shall comfort me, my couch shall ease my complaint. Then thou scarest me with dreams, terrifiest me through visions, so that my soul chooseth strangling and death rather than my life. I loathe it, I would not live always, let me alone, for my days are vanity. What is man that thou shouldest magnify him, and that thou shouldest set thine heart upon him, and that thou shouldest visit him every morning and try him every moment? How long wilt thou not depart from me, nor let me alone, till I swallow down my spittle? I have sinned. What shall I do unto thee, O thou preserver of men? Why hast thou set me as a mark against thee, so that I am a burden to myself? And why dost thou not pardon my transgressions and take away mine iniquity? For now shall I sleep in the dust, and thou shalt seek me in the morning, but I shall not be. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 21. And prayer is that God will bless this reading of His eternal and infallible Word to all our hearts this evening. The little text of Scripture I want you to consider with me tonight, those words that are found there in the middle of verse number 20 of Job chapter 7. It simply says, O thou preserver of men, O thou preserver of men. Speaking of the Lord, the hymn writer could speak of him and could say, a sovereign protector I have, unseen yet forever at hand. And by those particular words, he was really testifying of his security and protection in the Lord. He was really speaking of divine preservation in his own life. And in our text here this evening, Job the patriarch also mentions the same security and preservation when he speaks here of the Lord in our text in verse 20 of Job chapter 7. And he says, O thou a preserver of men. In this chapter here before us, we have Job in the early part of the chapter speaking to man about his troubles. You see that in particular in verse 3 and verse 6 of the chapter, where he says, so am I made to possess months of vanity, and wearisome nights are appointed to me. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle, and are spent without hope. At this point in his life, it is as if Job had no hope, and he tells this to others. And he says that his life is as vanity, it is empty, it is vain. He talks about wearisome nights as he addresses man as he speaks here in the opening part of the chapter. But then he goes on and he addresses God himself. And as he speaks to God, he speaks, yes, about his own death, his own departure from this life. In verse number 10, he speaks really here of himself. Job says, he shall return no more to his house, neither shall his place know him any more. He also speaks of his own miserable condition at this time before the Lord. He says in verse number 11, therefore I will not refrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. He was in anguish. He was in bitterness because of the present condition upon him. And then further on down the chapter, we see in verse number 20 how he confesses his sin to the Lord. For he says, I have sinned. And then following that, he acknowledges God to be the great, great preserver of men. For he says, O thou, a preserver of men. And by these words here, he really tells us about his own security in the Lord. And this confession here of Job regarding his security and preservation of the Lord really reminds the Lord's people three very important lessons, and it is those lessons I want us to look at and consider tonight. If you're a believer in the Lord as you listen tonight, I pray that God's word will be a blessing, a comfort, and an encouragement to your soul. The first thing that we see here from these words, when Job says, O thou preserver of men, as he speaks to God, we see in the first place the believer's need of preservation. The believer's need of preservation. You see, in this world, the believer is under attack from a threefold enemy. The Bible would show us that and teach us that. There is the enemy of the world. And the world is an enemy to the Christian. And when we talk about the world, we're talking about the spirit of this world, the whole attitude of this world. And that spirit is one of antagonism to God and God's people. That spirit is of evil. It is of wickedness and that which is contrary to God. You listen to the words of John in 1 John chapter 5, verse 19. He says, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And what that statement really means is that the whole world lieth in the lap of the wicked one, is controlled by the evil spirit of the devil himself. Yes, this world is the devil's domain. This world is no friend of grace, no friend of the Christian. It is enmity to God and to the Christian. When Paul was writing his letter to the church at Galatia, he spoke of this world as this present evil world. There is the enemy of the world that is against the Christian. But then there is also the enemy of the flesh. Yes, through the fall of Adam, we all have inherited an old sinful nature that is biased toward evil and biased toward sin. And that old nature will remain within us until we enter into heaven itself. You think of the words of the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 7, verse 18. He could say, in my flesh there dwelleth no good thing. And there he was referring to that old sinful nature within. Again, when he was writing to the church at Corinth, he said these words. He says, but I keep my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. And Paul uttered those words. Why? Because he himself was concerned about that old fleshly sinful nature within his heart, within his soul. As a child of God. Yes, there's the enemy of the world, the enemy of the flesh, and then there's the enemy of the devil himself who attacks God's people. You turn in your Bible over to 1 Peter chapter number 5. 1 Peter chapter number 5 and the verse number 8. And here Peter is writing specifically to those who are saved, redeemed by the blood of Christ. And he says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Peter here was telling the Christians of his day, and it applies also to you and I who are saved today, to be sober, to be vigilant, to be alert, to be on our guard, spiritually speaking, so to speak, because we have an adversary, the devil, and his desire is to devour, to consume the people of God. Remember what Christ said to Peter himself? He says, Satan have desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. The devil attacks God's people. The book of Job speaks of the trials of Job. You study the book, read in particular the early chapters of the book, and you'll see from what you read there that all the trials of Job and his afflictions, that the devil was behind them all. He was the architect of them. And his attack upon Job, who was one of the most godliest of characters that you can read about in the Old Testament. Yes, the devil is always out to attack the Christian, always out to attack the Church of Christ, the redeemed of the Lord. And that's his strategy right to the end of time. Think even of our Savior, the sinless Son of God, the perfect Son of God. While he was here on earth, he knew what it was to be attacked by the devil. Turn with me in your Bible over to Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 4. And look at how it begins. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, verse number 1. It says, Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness, notice it, and to be tempted of the devil, the adversary. He was attacked by the devil, his adversary, in the wilderness. Look at verse 3 of the chapter. It says, And when the tempter came to him, and the devil attacked him and tried to get him to yield to his temptation. Though, of course, Christ was sinless. He was spotless. He did not yield. He was impeccable in character. But the point we're making tonight, that even Christ himself was attacked by Satan. And if Christ himself was attacked by Satan, then you and I also, who are saved, also can expect to be attacked by the devil, by the evil one, in this world and in this scene of time. Thus we see our need of preservation here in this life, in this world, as the people of God. Yes, because we are attacked by the world, the flesh, and the devil. Yes, we see the believer's need of preservation from these words. But then the second thing I want you to notice here is not only the believer's need of preservation, but the source of the believer's preservation. Look again at what our text simply says there in Job chapter 7 and the verse number 20. It says, O thou preserver of men. And in these words, Job himself is addressing the Lord. He is addressing these words to the Lord. We know that he is speaking to the Lord here because of his confession of his own sin to the Lord at the beginning of the verse 20 when he says, I have sinned. Job, yes, was a godly man. He confesses, yes, his sin here to the Lord. And then in the very same breath, he says these words to the Lord, O thou preserver of men. This really shows us that the Lord was the source of Job's preservation. And as the Lord was the preserver of Job, so he is the preserver of all his people in this world, wherever they are to be found in this scene of time. Yes, the Lord himself is the one who can give the Christian victory in this world and over this world. You remember, yes, that time whenever Israel had victory over the Philistines in the day of the prophet Samuel. And in the Bible, the Philistines really are a type of the world and the world's antagonism to the Christian. And what did Samuel say in 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12? He says, Our Ebenezer, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. New victory over the Philistines through the Lord. And dear child of God, you and I can know victory over that evil spirit of this world that is antagonist to us and to God's people, not through ourselves, but through the Lord. Also again, remember the words of the Apostle Paul when he speaks about his own battle with the flesh. Turn with me over to Romans chapter number 7, the 7th chapter of the book of Romans, and look at what he says in verse number 24 and verse number 25 of Romans chapter 7. He says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He's speaking there of the attack of that old fleshly sinful nature upon him as a believer. And look at the answer he gives. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul was one who knew victory over the old man, over that old sinful nature, not through his own strength or wisdom or anything of man, but through the Lord. And child of God, there is victory for you and I over that old nature, not through ourselves or through anything of man's devising or man's wisdom, but through the Lord. The Lord is the one who can give us victory over that old nature. The Lord is one who can subdue our iniquities as the people of God within us. Then think also of the words of Christ to Peter when he himself was attacked by the devil in Luke chapter 22 and verse number 31 and the verse number 32. He says there, "Satan have desired that he may have you, that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee, that thy fail not." And there the Lord was assuring Peter of victory in his life over the strategy and the attack of the devil upon him. He says, "I have prayed for thee, that thy fail not." And my, the Lord was the source of Peter's victory over the attack of the devil and the evil one. Likewise, dear child of God, it is through the Lord also that you and I can know victory over the devil, over our adversary, over his every attack and temptation that he sets before us. Yes, through the Lord we can be victorious. Yes, our need of preservation, the source of the believer's preservation. But then notice the final thing just from this little text of Scripture tonight here in Job chapter number 7 and the verse number 20. Notice the way for the believer to experience God's preservation in their life. You look again at what our text says there in Job chapter 7 and the verse number 20. It says, "O thou preserver of men." Just think of those words as you see them there in the verse. Those words are really a statement of Job's own faith, a statement of his own trust in the Lord for divine preservation. He says, "O thou preserver of men." This was Job's own testimony, a statement of his faith, of his trust in the Lord. Job was one, yes, who trusted in the Lord for salvation. Turn over to Job chapter number 19, just over a little bit in your Bible. Job chapter 19 and the verse number 25. And look at what he says there about the Lord. He says, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." I know my Redeemer, said Job. Yes, he knew his soul was safe in the Lord. The Lord was his Redeemer, that he was eternally secure in the Lord's hand, and that he was sure of heaven. He was trusting in the Lord for salvation, trusting the Lord as his Redeemer. But also here in this life, in this world, in this scene of time, Job was one who trusted in the Lord for protection and for preservation in his life from every attack of the world, the flesh, and the devil upon him. His trust was in the Lord, and you see that in what the Bible tells us about this man, Job. Turn back to the beginning of the book, Job chapter number 1, and look at verse number 8. Notice how Job there is described. It says, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man?" Notice it, one that fear of God and eschew of evil. And that statement there, that he fear of God, it speaks of his faith, of his trust in the Lord. And he trusted in the Lord for protection and preservation in this life, in this scene of time. Go on over a little bit then to Job chapter number 12. And look again at what Job says in that chapter. And again it highlights that his faith, his trust was in the Lord for protection and help in his life. Look at what he says in verse 4 of Job chapter 12. He says, "I am as one mocked of his brother," notice it, "who calleth upon God." He was a man who called upon the Lord, a man who sought the Lord, a man who depended upon the Lord. Again, look at what he says in verse 10 of the same chapter about the Lord. He says, in whose hand is the soul of every living thing, and the breath of all mankind. His faith, his trust was in the Lord for very life within his soul and breath within his body. And then again, look at what he says about the Lord in verse number 16 of Job chapter 12. He says of the Lord, with him is strength and wisdom. He trusted in the Lord, depended upon the Lord for strength and wisdom. James says, you have heard of the patience of Job. In all his trials, he trusted in the Lord. In all his trials, he rested upon the Lord when the devil was attacking him. He was leaning upon the Lord. He could say of the Lord, he performeth the thing that is appointed for me. He could say of the Lord in Job chapter 23 in the verse number 10, but he knoweth the way that I take, and when he have tried me, I shall come forth of gold as gold. His faith, his trust was in the Lord. He was depending upon the Lord for preservation and protection in this life as a believer. And child of God, this is how it also must be with you and I as God's people. Yes, through faith in the redeeming work of Christ for salvation. Yes, we know that our soul is safe, that our soul is sure of heaven. Because of what Christ has done for us on the cross as our Savior, we can say with the Apostle Paul, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. As well as the eternal security of our soul through faith in Christ as Savior, as God's people, we must also be those who trust the Lord to protect us and to preserve us from every attack of the world, the flesh, and the devil. We are to trust the Lord for this preservation in our life. And my, this certainly will be our portion when, as God's people, we are obedient to the Lord. The psalmist says, the Lord is a sun and a shield. He will withhold no good thing, the psalmist says, from them that walk uprightly. And when we obey the Lord, we can look to the Lord, depend upon him for protection and preservation in our life. Also, by being watchful against Satan and the allurements of evil and sin, we can look to the Lord for preservation and protection. The Bible says, let us watch and be sober. It says to us who are saved, abstain from all appearance of evil. And by living in that manner as God's people, we can look to the Lord for preservation and protection. Also, by being prayerful to the Lord daily, yes, we can pray to the Lord and ask his help for protection from evil and sin and from the attacks of the evil one upon us. Turn in your Bible over to Matthew's Gospel. Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 6. And we come to that portion of Scripture known as the Lord's Prayer. And look at what the Lord says to his people about prayer. One of the things that you and I are to pray about in our life when we are saved on a daily basis. Verse number 13 of Matthew chapter 6, he says, And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Child of God, this is to be something that we are to do daily as God's people and to pray about daily, that the Lord would keep us from temptation, that the Lord would keep us from evil in our going out and in our coming in. And then as God's people, by walking humbly with the Lord, yes, we can know his preservation, his protection in our life. As God's people, we're not to tempt the Lord and go on a path that is contrary to the will of God. The Bible says, ye shall not tempt the Lord thy God. You remember Jonah? God told Jonah to go to Nineveh and to preach the gospel. But Jonah disobeyed the Lord. He thought he knew better than the Lord, and he got on a ship to Tarshish. And it led him into trouble as a believer, as a child of God. You see, he did not walk humbly with the Lord on that occasion. How important it is that we humbly yield to the Lord and to his will and to his word for our lives as God's people. Micah chapter 6 verse 8 says, he have showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee? To do justly, love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. And that is how you and I can know God's preservation and protection upon us in this life. The hymn writer says, when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. That was the mark of Job. Hence he could make this statement here in our text tonight as he addresses the Lord. And he could say, O thou preserver of men. Child of God tonight, whoever you are listening in, wherever your station is in life, be a believer who trusts the Lord, who obeys the Lord, who walks in the light of his word and the light of his will. You too can depend upon the Lord for his preservation, his protection, his help, his blessing, his guidance in your life day by day. If you're listening in tonight online and you're not saved, still unsaved, let me say there's a word of warning here for you also. In these words, when Job says, O thou preserver of men, you might ask the question, well, what is this warning? Well, if you are to be saved from the awful ruin of your sin, if you are to be delivered from a lost eternity in hell and to be certain and sure of heaven when you leave this world, then now in time as a repentant sinner, you must look by faith to Christ alone for salvation and trust in his sacrifice and in the blood of his cross alone for salvation. Depend upon him alone and trust him for salvation. The Bible speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ and says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Trust him as Savior. Obey him as Lord in your life. And know his preservation, his protection upon you, not only for time, but for all of eternity. Speaking of Christ, the hymn writer could say, I was a sinner, but now I'm free. His wondrous grace has rescued me. Once I was blind, but now I see a brand from the burning. He rescued me. Unsaved friend, now tonight, trust Christ as your Savior. And know the Lord's preserving grace in your life for time and all of eternity. May God bless his word and this little text of Scripture tonight to all our hearts, O thou preserver of men. Just before we close in prayer, I'd just like to leave with you a few prayer requests. Just as a congregation here, remember our online ministry. Do please pray for the public services as they recommence again, that we know God's blessing and God's help as we gather together again around the Word of God. Do remember the sick in our congregation, those that are shielding, those that are sorrowing, those that are shut in. Remember also Mrs. Vanson Hospital, that you know the Lord's help and the Lord drawing near. Do pray also for two of our ministers who are ill, Dr. Lindsay Wilson and the Reverend Paul Fitzsimons, that they would know God's touch at this time. Do also remember the situation regarding COVID in our land. We thank the Lord for his restraining hand upon it in recent times, and just pray that this may continue in the will of the Lord. And remember also our home missionaries. Maybe you could remember our brother, Mr. Chris Killen, Mr. Jonathan Smith, brother Mr. Noel Shields, and our brother, Mr. Colin Maxwell as well, that the doors would open up for them again soon in the will of the Lord to spread the gospel here in the province of Northern Ireland and even around the border area as well. But we'll just seek the Lord in a word of prayer this evening. Our loving God, our gracious Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy presence with us tonight around the Word of God. For these words of Job, when he could say of thee, O God, O thou preserver of men. We realize, O God, that thou and thou alone art the only one who is the God of salvation. For any listening in tonight unsaved, speak to them. May they come to rest upon Christ alone for salvation. And Lord, bless us as your people day by day. Protect us from every snare and pitfall and trap of the evil one. We thank thee for grace that saves. We thank thee, O God, for grace that keeps, even unto life eternal. Help us to walk with thee, O God, to live in accordance with thy word and with thy will, to yield to thee for our lives. Help us day by day just to depend upon thee, to trust in thee for protection in every circumstance and situation of life. Father in heaven, we pray for thy restraining hand upon this virus in our land. We do thank thee for tokens for good in recent days. And Lord, in thy mercy and in thy will, Lord, may this continue, O God, we pray. For those that are ill with this virus, give them healing. Those that have suffered loss through it, give them comfort. And Lord, our medical services, grant them protection as they deal with it day by day. And our government, as they deal with the situation, give them wisdom. May they realize, O God, their great need of thee in all this matter, we pray. Again, Lord, we pray for our home missionaries tonight, that thou would bless them. Remember Mr. Chris Killen as he labors amongst those with drug addiction and other addictions. Bless him, protect him, give him health and strength. And Lord, guide him to the pointing of souls to Christ. Remember Brother Jonathan Smith as well as he works amongst the young people. And our Brother Noel and our Brother Colin, Lord, bless them. And open up that open-air ministry again soon for them in the will of the Lord. And bless them as they preach thy word in the open air and around the border regions as well. Use them for the glory and honor of God and the pointing of souls to Christ, we pray. Remember Sister Mrs. Vance in hospital. Touch her and strengthen her, O God, we pray. Remember all those in our congregation who are ill at this time and sorrowing. We bring them before thee in faith and in prayer. Bless them, help them, strengthen them. Undertake, O Lord, for the reopening of our services again soon in the will of the Lord to public worship. May your blessing be upon them as we gather, even as our Lord returned in the power of the Spirit. May we gather together again as your people in the power of the Spirit of God. And may thou bless us and visit us, Lord, with thy salvation, O God, we pray. Remember Dr. Wilson, Reverend St. Simons as well. Touch them at this time and raise them up again to that good measure of health and strength. And be their helper and be their strength, O God, we pray. Take of our thanks for thy presence with us. Bless us in our daily lives day by day as the people of God. Help us to be bright and shining witnesses, Lord, for thee. For we do pray and do ask all these things for Jesus' sake and glory, giving thee thanks for all thy many mercies. Amen.